Is KAYT Gina Alexandria. No need to worry. The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are here today to call on the highest power of the universe to bring peace and prosperity upon his people. The God that we serve is a deliverer and a strong tower. He is a God of stability, a God of substance, a God of authority, and a God who can solve all of our issues. So today, establish your people with deliverance. Deliverance from the unemployment line. Deliverance from food stamps and welfare. Deliverance from the inner city housing and project living. Deliverance from drug addiction. Deliverance from social injustice. Deliverance from drive-by shootings. Deliverance from illiteracy and homelessness. Deliverance from racism and bigotry. Deliverance from hatred and violence. Deliverance from the doom of demonism. Deliverance from sin and seduction. Deliverance from helplessness and despair. Authenticate us with the principles of your power so that we can dwell in your power today.
You say you really need it. You know that you can have it today. Yeah. Right now.
You can have deliverance.
Right now.
If you think
you can have deliverance.
You can have deliverance.
If you gotta have it,
I am excited to introduce to you Deliverance Today Ministries. Our world is full of trouble, and we have reached a point where it is time to bring to the people of God the truth of God. We are headquartered in Shreveport, Louisiana, and are connected to churches worldwide. Each week, we desire to come into your life with a message of deliverance that will prepare you for heaven. We invite you to join our prayer line and zoom into a closer walk with God every morning from 6 to 7 a.m. Central Standard Time. We have health professionals, spiritual counselors, and Christian aid workers in Louisiana and Texas, and will also extend our resources to help you with social, spiritual, financial, and mental needs wherever you are.
Take good care.
Hebrews chapter 11, beginning with verse 1. The Bible says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." I want to talk to you for a few moments on the subject unlikely heroes. Unlikely heroes. Imagine a group of people gathered before you. You must select from among them those most likely to play a pivotal role in God's plan for humanity. They are so at ease with you that they open up and share their darkest secrets. One tells you that after a night of heavy drinking, he was sexually abused by one of his own sons. Another confesses that he gave his wife to another man to sleep with. Another plotted with his mistress to kill her husband. Another one murdered a man and is still on the run from the law. One is a prostitute. Another has a lifestyle marked by violence, killing people to impress his girlfriend and his protective father-in-law. Yet another confesses that he cheated his brother out of his inheritance. Could you use them? I hope so, for they are all heroes of faith described in Hebrews chapter 11. You see, Noah is the man who got drunk and was sexually abused. Abraham is the man who gave his wife to sleep with another. David is the one who plotted to have his mistress' husband killed. Moses is the one who murdered an Egyptian and was never brought to account for it. Rahab was the prostitute. Samson's life was marked by violence and who killed to impress his girlfriend. Jacob is the person who cheated his own brother out of his inheritance. Would you consider abortion? There are so many people in this country who consider abortion a heinous issue, and many suggest that anyone who holds to abortion has got to be spiritually wrong. Well, there's a preacher and wife who are very, very poor. They already have 14 kids. Now she finds out she's pregnant with number 15. They're living in tremendous poverty. Considering their poverty and the excessive world population, would you consider recommending that she get an abortion? Number two, the father is sick with sniffles. The mother has TB. They have four children. The first is blind. The second is dead. The third is deaf, and the fourth has TB. She finds she's pregnant again. Given the extreme situation, would you consider recommending abortion? While a man raped a 13-year-old black girl and she got pregnant, if you were her parents, would you consider recommending abortion? A teenage girl is pregnant. She is not married. Her fiancé is not the father of the baby, and he is very upset. Would you consider recommending abortion in this case? Well, in the first case, you have just killed John Wesley, one of the great evangelists in the 19th century. In the second case, you have killed Beethoven. In the third case, you've killed Ethel Waters, the great black gospel singer. And if you said yes to the fourth case, you have just declared the murder of Jesus Christ. We have often the thought that a person of faith is a person untouched by sin. These examples show us that it is far from the case. Faithful people are also flawed people, people who can easily bounce from great acts of faith to great acts of evil and disobedience. Scripture shows that God uses very flawed people indeed, for there are some historical surprises. Who would have thought that relatively powerless persons could bring shifts in history? Gandhi, an unsuccessful lawyer, adapted the teachings of the Sermon on the Mount and the writings of Tolstoy and became the key to bringing independence to India because he was ready. Rosa Parks, in refusing to move to the back of the bus in Montgomery, sparked the beginning of the civil rights movement of the 50s and 60s. She was a rather inauspicious person to take such a critical action, but she was ready. Nelson Mandela was sentenced to life in prison. He was released to bring a shift in the politics of South Africa at a critical juncture when many thought either that change would never come, or if it did, it would be accompanied by a vast bloodbath. The transition to a more just society came relatively peacefully under his leadership after he was unexpectedly released from prison. Prison had prepared him and made him ready. Mother Teresa, a rather unpretentious nun, is being considered for sainthood for her simple act of trying to rescue people from the streets who might otherwise die. She was ready. For you see, God can work through you. Moses stuttered. David's armor didn't fit. John Mark deserted Paul. Timothy had ulcers. Hosea's wife was a prostitute. Amos' only training was in the school of fig tree pruning. Jacob was a liar. David had an affair. Solomon was too rich. Jesus was too poor. Abraham was too old. David was too young. Peter was afraid of death. Lazarus was dead. John was self-righteous. Naomi was a widow. Paul was a persecutor of the church. Moses was a murderer. Jonah ran from God's will. Miriam was a gossip. Gideon and Thomas both doubted. Jeremiah was depressed and suicidal. Elijah was burned out. John the Baptist was a loudmouth. Martha was a worrywart. Noah got drunk. Did I mention that Moses had a short fuse? So did Peter. So did Paul. Well, lots of folks did. If you are looking for a hero, just look at the rap sheets of our heroes. Adam and Eve had bad diets. Moses was a murderer. Samson fell for Delilah. David just had to have Bathsheba. Thomas Jefferson could really write about life and liberty while enslaving people. Babe Ruth struck out a lot, and not just on the diamond. Mickey Mantle was a drunk. Mike Tyson bit off more than he could chew. Cross-waving Evander Holyfield has 6 children by 6 different women. Tiger Woods can't win every week. We could go on and on. It's just like Ralph Waldo Emerson said, every hero becomes at last a bore. So if you're looking for a hero, I'd turn to God as expressed in Jesus. For you see, there's a poem that goes that there's a surprise in heaven. I was shocked, confused, bewildered as I entered heaven's door, not by the beauty of it all, nor the lights or its decor, but it was the folk in heaven who made me sputter and gasp, the thieves, the liars, the sinners, the alcoholics, and the trash. There stood the kid from seventh grade who swiped my lunch money twice. Next to him was my old neighbor who never said anything nice. Herb, who I always thought was rotting away in hell, was sitting pretty on cloud nine, looking incredibly well. I asked Jesus, "What's the deal? I would love to hear your take. How'd all these sinners get up here? God must have made a mistake. And why is everyone so quiet, so somber? Give me a clue." "Hush, child," said he. "They're all in shock. No one thought they'd be seeing you." Today, the question is asked, will we be there in heaven? You will if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That is the only prerequisite. God does not require us to earn our way to heaven, for by grace are we saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. You see, God doesn't require a job interview. He doesn't hire and fire like most bosses, because he's more our dad than our boss. He doesn't look at financial gain or loss. He's not prejudiced or partial, not judging, grudging, sassy or brassy, not deaf to our cry, not blind to our need. God's gifts are free. We could do wonderful things for wonderful people and still not be wonderful. Satan says, "You're not worthy." Jesus says, "So what? I am." Satan looks back and sees our mistake. God looks back and sees the cross. Beginnings are scary. Endings are often sad. But it's what you do in the middle that counts. In the early days of immigration to the West, a traveler once came for the first time in his life to the banks of the mighty Mississippi. There was no bridge, however, he must cross. It was early winter, and the surface of the mighty river was sheeted with ice. He knew nothing of its thickness, however, and feared to trust himself to it. He hesitated long, but night was coming on, and he must reach the other shore. At length, with many fears and infinite caution, he crept out on his hands and knees, thinking thus to distribute his weight as much as possible, and trembling with every sound. When he had gone in this way painfully halfway over, he heard a sound of singing behind him. There in the dust was a man driving a four-horse load of coal across on the ice and singing as he went. Many a Christian creeps trembling out upon God's promises, where another, stronger in faith, goes singing through the life upheld by the same word. Have faith, my brothers, in God, for whosoever puts his trust in Jehovah shall be saved. When Lawrence of Arabia was in Paris after World War I with some of his Arab friends, he showed them the sights of the city, the Arc of Triumph, the Louvre, Napoleon's tomb, the Champs-Élysées, but none of these things impressed them. The thing that really interested them most was the faucet in the bathtub of the hotel room. They spent much time in turning it on and off. They found it amazing that one could turn a handle and get all the water he wanted. Later, when they were ready to leave Paris and return to the East, Lawrence found them in the bathroom with wrenches trying to disconnect the faucet. You see, they said, it is very dry in Arabia. What we need are faucets. If we have them, we will have all the water we want. Lawrence had to explain that the effectiveness of the faucets did not lie in themselves, but in the immense reservoirs of water to which they were attached, and he had to point out that behind this lay the rain and snowfalls of the Alps. What a tremendous application to our Christian lives, like the faucet by itself, so as individual Christians by ourselves. Without Christ, we are useless. Apart from me, ye can do nothing. The lives of many Christians are as dry as the Arabian desert. They have their faucets, but there is no connection to the living water. May we trust God by faith so that our lives may be abundantly fruitful, and don't be a fruitless faucet. Last but not least, the son of a widow in difficult financial circumstances was on his last journey to Oxford. His mother had made a great and last effort, as she hoped it might be, to raise the money to enable her son to take his degree. The coach was within two stages of Oxford when, a little before it reached the end where they stopped, the young scholar missed the money that his mother had given him. He had been a good and careful son, and such a sickness of heart as he felt at the moment, some can guess. He tried to recollect whether he had taken it out of his purse, and remembered that he had done so a few miles back, almost without hope, and yet feeling it to be his duty to try and recover this large sum that he had lost. He told the coachman to let his luggage be sent on as directed, and walked back toward the place where he thought it possible that he might have dropped the note. He had gone about 3 miles when there met him, working on his way slowly and wearily, a poor creature whose appearance arrested his attention. He had often read of leprosy, but had never seen a leper. This poor man was a leper. Shall he stop to speak to him? If the lost note is on the road, some passenger may see and take it up, and he may lose it. Yet conscience told him to speak a word of comfort to the poor sufferer before him, and he obeyed. Leaning forward, the man's sad history told of his trouble and his vague hope of getting some advice in Oxford. The student remembered a gentleman in the university whose residence in the East had brought him in contact with lepers, who was well qualified to do any possible good. Yes, my friend, this man found the note. This man, while he was destitute, was an unlikely hero. Why? God uses nobodies to do great work for somebody. Today, he wants to do work for you. He wants to save you. Trust in him today.
If you've enjoyed this message by Pastor Jonathan McCautry, please reach out to us. We would love to hear from you. Call at 318-658-6216. Email us at deliverancetodayministries@gmail.com. Write us at P.O. Box 5452, Bossier City, Louisiana, 71171. This is Ruth Ann Thompson at Deliverance Today Ministries, inviting you to join us and become a faithful pledge supporter so we can reach others through this radio ministry.
Before we leave the air today, I'd like to make a special appeal for those of you who believe in the power of prayer. Please join us on our Zoom prayer line tomorrow morning